ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We stopped with that Sutta Prajna portion. We were about to begin that. And I said we'll do it separately because when we are doing the important verses, the entire Sutta Prajna portion is important verses. So instead of saying that one by one it is important, we can clearly say from verse 54 till the end of chapter 2. In 54, Arjuna is asking the question, Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha Samadhisthasya Keshava Sthitadi Kim Prabhasheta Kim Asita Vrajeta Ki. So Arjuna's question is, what is the description of a man of steady wisdom? Sthita Prajna. Sthira Prajna means one whose wisdom is established, one whose wisdom is steady. So how do you describe a man of perfection? A person who has attained a state of realization. And then, how does he speak? Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha Samadhisthasya Keshava Sthitadi Kim Prabhasheta means how does he speak? Kim Asita, how does he sit? Vrajeta Kim, how does he walk? So basically he is asking Lord Krishna to explain about Sthita Prajnas. Inside condition, outside manifestation and conduct. So, because Lord Krishna was talking about reaching that state. In 52-53, he said, when your intellect gets perplexed by what you have heard, what is yet to be heard, then you go beyond and reach the Atma within. So Arjuna wanted to know what happens when you reach that state. So this portion, Sthita Prajna, has 18 mantras, 18 slokas given by Lord Krishna, where he covers all the questions of Arjuna and explains in detail. He paints a beautiful picture of man of perfection. The very first answer he gives for the first question, Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha, description, he says, Prajahati Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogata Atmani Eva Atmana Tushtaha Sthita Prajnas Tadochate. When one casts up all his desires from his mind, O Bharata, and is satisfied in the self by the self, then is one said to be of steady wisdom. In other words, the description he gives is a self-realized person is one who is satisfied in the self by the self and his mind is absolutely free from any desire. He is not talking about one who doesn't have any contact, but one who is satisfied in the self by the self. Self-sufficiency is the mark of spiritual development. How do we know whether we are grown spiritually? We've been attending classes for so many days. Now how do I find out if I'm growing spiritually? We have 24 hours in a day, out of which about 8 hours goes in sleep. Balance 16-17 hours. How many of us will be comfortable in those 16-17 hours? Forget 16-17 hours, even 10 minutes just being with ourselves. Are you comfortable just being with yourself? How long? That is directly proportional to your spiritual development. A jnani is absolutely comfortable just being with himself. Why is it that we are not comfortable being with ourselves? Meaning we are not happy being with ourselves. Our mind wants something or the other, no? Even when you are left alone, you want an iPod. Maybe in the iPod you've only loaded Bhagavad Gita lectures. But still it is a dependence, right? So there is something or the other you require, television or an iPod or a mobile phone or something or the other. Just yourself. Why is it that we are not able to be with ourselves? Anybody? In fact, we are fed up of ourselves. We can't stay with ourselves. We want some company, right?
Restlessness.
Yeah, you don't know what to do. Not only the students don't know what to do on Tuesday mornings, even the teacher doesn't know what to do. The class is not there. In other words, the mind is running. The greater the speed at which the thoughts are running, the greater the number of thoughts, the greater the dependency. So in the case of Stita Prajna, the thoughts have stopped running. If he wants, he brings it out.
There's no dependence on anything.
So to the extent, if the thoughts are running wildly, to that extent you are dependent on the objects and beings outside. The texture of thoughts are different, therefore the dependency on different objects varies. Somebody starts running towards in the tamasic area, so requires tamasic prop. Somebody's thoughts are running in the rajasic area, so he requires a rajasic prop. Somebody's thoughts are running in the sattvic area, therefore he requires sattvic prop. But all of us need to have a prop. So it is like a child requires a prop. Child requires a walker. Without a walker, can a child walk? But once the child is able to walk by itself, the walker is thrown out. Exactly like that, today the mind is there demanding so many things. Accordingly, we are dependent on so many factors. Just few days, few minutes, if there is nothing to do, you go berserk. In fact, doing nothing requires development. People who have nothing to do get so bored in their life. When everything is done by so many people, see, you go to a poor person, he has to do everything himself, right? In his case, his mind is so preoccupied. When so many people are doing so many things and you have nothing to do or you have very little to do, what happens to you? You get so bored. Boredom sets in. So you go through depressions, you go through tremendous stress. Being with yourself is the most difficult thing, right? So the mind, when it is occupied, it remains quiet. That doesn't mean it is in the positive condition of development. Positive condition of development is when there is nothing for it to do and there is nothing to do, even then it is in happiness. That is the state of Siddha Prajna. The thoughts are not running towards the external world for happiness. Because the Siddha Prajna is one who has understood that the real address for happiness is one's own self. The happiness that is got from any objects are only reflected happiness.
When you're completely by yourself, and at that point of time, you really feel a lot of gratitude because you enjoy just.
Yeah, the happiness that's coming from within you. I'll explain to you.
But that is also thoughts running.
Which one?
If you're just completely by, when you're completely by yourself, when other distractions are not there, at that point of time, if you sit down, then at that point of time, you feel a lot of gratitude for everything.
See, from a relative point of view, you are right.
Or anything.
From a relative point of view, you are right. But from an absolute point of view, he's even gone beyond gratitude.
So that's what I'm asking. Is that also his thoughts running?
Yes, that's at a very, very relative, but almost close to the self-realization state. But once a person goes to the self-realization state, it means he has gone even beyond the level of gratitude and everything. There is no thought, zero thought.
Yeah, because even in this there is thought.
Yes, exactly. Now see, when there is a stone thrown into a pond, what happens? Ripples are created. When there is constant throwing of stone, then there is constant ripples. Then after some time, if the throwing of the stone stops, the ripples subside. It will be again coming back to calm surface pond. Now, earlier it was calm. Then the ripples were formed. Then the ripples subsided. Then again it came back to calmness. It has come back to its original state. Similarly, before the thoughts popped up inside our mind, we were calm. And the thought came one after another, so much of ripples. When all the thoughts subside, what remains is Atma. That is calmness, true calmness. Now the point is, when the mind has completely dissolved, then you reach the Atma. But when the mind is not completely dissolved, but actions are all done by so many people, you still have desires, but you are so bored. Physically also you are not occupied, and mentally there are so many desires. Now what to do? Are you with me? So what he is trying to say here is, from the mind the desires have gone. How come? Because he's got the knowledge of Atma, he's understood that the happiness lies within and not without. And by reducing the vasanas through karma, bhakti, jnana, and through meditation, he has reached the Atma within. Therefore, he is satisfied in the self by the self. He is satisfied in the self by the self. So, in other words, he is not somebody who is running away from crowd. Running away is not a positive situation. But he is not somebody who is dependent on a crowd. Whether it is Gita class crowd or a discotheque
even
crowd.
Even the crowd, he will still be within.
Yeah, even in the crowd, he will still be within. He is always identified with Atma within. This is what is called as state of Stathaprajna. So from a relative point of view also, when you are growing spiritually, if you are growing spiritually, you should become more and more self-sufficient. That is why in this context we said, because you could afford and so many other aspects are there, you have other people to help you. But when you are free, you do your work yourself. Don't be dependent on them. It's not that you should be others to take help from others. Then that is ego. Oh, no, I will not take your help. I will do it myself. Then it is ego. Not that you should be others to take somebody else's help. But to be putting yourself on a dependent condition is the worst situation to be in. Any situation, whatever it is. Like outside, it should be as if you are dependent on it. But inside there should be zero dependence. The best example given is by Swami Ramtirtha. He gives the example of a bird that is perched on the branch of a tree. A man has to go to his village, back from his work, through a jungle route. As he was going, he heard some wild animal noise. So he climbed the tree. The wild animal came and sat under the tree, hoping that he will come down after a few minutes. He was sitting on a branch, and the branch was bending because it couldn't take his weight. And the branch was bending towards the river that was flowing adjacent. And inside the river, there's a crocodile opening its mouth. On the same branch, there's a bird that is perched. What is the condition of mind between this person's mind and the bird's mind? Bird has no problem because if the branch breaks, it will fly because it has wings.
Not dependent.
So in other words, your wings are your original nature. If you depend on bodily connections or emotional connections or intellectual connections or the so-called spiritual connections, to that extent there will be stress.
Any connection. Because you're dependent on that.
Yeah.
If that is not there, you are not.
To be able to relate with them without being dependent on them is spirituality. Your only dependence is on Atma. And nature will teach us by experience to depend on Atma. Because you will go on depending on so many factors, then your insecurity still continues. For a while you feel okay, then insecurity is there. You trust somebody that I will get security from them, then you are not sure. Right? So then slowly nature will teach you, it is your fault to keep trust on something that is not possible to be trusted 100%. If the mind is of the changing nature and you are dependent on somebody, what guarantee is there that their mind will not change? For all practical purposes it may not change at all, but what guarantee is there that it will not change? So is it not your foolishness to be dependent on something that is naturally changing order and expect it not to change? So therefore the real dependence is only on the Atma. All other dependences are fake. This a self-realized master has attained. He doesn't depend on anything. He will go around, keep connections, use everything, but he has zero dependence. Like a bird that is perched on the branch. This is the difference. Because a lot of people think that they will not keep these comforts. If I keep these comforts, then I will get attached to it. Then there may come a time when that is removed. I will be in sorrow. So might as well from the beginning only I will not have it. But this is not a state of growth.
That's escapism.
That is escapism. The state of growth is when I am not afraid of it, I will go through it. But when it is taken away from me, no problem. We put all our baskets on the things that are of changing nature. If you really understand that these are all passing, fleeting phenomenon, and then don't invest there. Your investment should only be in the self. But what we are doing is, we don't invest in the self at all. We invest in the non-self. Everything non-self. Mostly in the bodily connections. We are born through the bodies of our parents. And through our body, our children are born. So all our connections are bodily mostly, relatives and everything. Right? And then material. That will help to cater to the body, mind and intellect. Then emotional bondings. Then intellectual bondings. So in other words, we are investing in these things and we are digging our own grave. So Vedanta says, as Siddha Prajna has understood that these are all passing, fleeting phenomenon and doesn't invest there. He has invested himself totally in the Atma. Having realized the self, he is absolutely free from thoughts of the world and is happy by being with himself. So whether crowd is there, whether crowd is not there, he is happy. This is what he said in verse 55. Then in 56 he said, does it mean that he will not have sorrow and joy? What kind of a state would this be? If he is somebody who is happy by himself, with himself, does it mean that he will not go through the emotions of joy and sorrow? Then it will be boring life. For which he says, no, he will go through joy and sorrow. What pains you also gives him pain. A lot of people misunderstand the state of Sthita Prajna. Therefore, he explains here very well. If you put too much of salt in the food, a Sthita Prajna also will find the food salty. So, in other words, just like how anybody else goes through joy and sorrow, he also goes through joy and sorrow. But in this case, he doesn't allow the joy and sorrow to affect him. In our case, we allow the joy and sorrow to affect us. And I explain to you, what does affectation means? What does affectation means? where it interferes in our daily routine duties. Like sportsmen. See, this is why one of the things that sports teaches us is this. If you see sportsmen, when there is some earthquake or something, they will put a black band on their arms or something, around their arms, and then they will play. In other words, the shoka should not affect your heart or head. It should be there at the middle. You should be like Neelkanth. When Halahala poison Lord Shiva took, his consort Parvati came and arrested it at the neck level. Why? The poison should not go and affect the heart, nor should it go and affect the head. It should be arrested at the neck level. So to understand this verse 56, within bracket write Neelkanth, then you will understand. In other words, emotions he will go through, but he will not allow his emotions to affect his head or heart. He continues in life. He doesn't allow the emotions to stifle his daily routine duties.
Or his thinking.
In other words, he is not acting inspired by this joy and sorrow. His actions are propelled by his goal, by his inside self, Atma. Like
emotion and emotional.
Yes, he never turns emotion. He has emotions. And he has become free from desire, anger and all these various modifications by merely being a witness to them. He doesn't allow them to gain strength in proportion. Then he says, oh, he will go through joy and sorrow, but he will not get affected by it. Maybe then because he is not such an active person. No. He is somebody who acts. He is everywhere. He who is everywhere without attachment. So how is it possible that one who is everywhere but not get affected by joy and sorrow? He says it is possible if he is detached. What does detachment mean? Detachment means attaching yourself to the higher, because of which you become detached from the lower. He is attached himself with Atma only. He never loses the focus that he is Atma. See, like a man or a woman, in any group he might be moving around, he or she will never forget the fact that he is a man or she is a woman. Isn't it? Even for a... It's not that constantly she has to remind herself, I am a woman. No. But deep inside it is there. She never loses the focus that she is a woman. She may be the only woman sitting in the meeting with everybody else being men. But she knows that she is a woman. Are you with me? So exactly like that, he all the time is only identified with Atma. Not even for a second he loses that awareness that he is Atma. In our case, seldom we remember that we are Atma. The identification, we need to be reminded by the scriptures every day. That is why we say, every day, start your day with the study of the scriptures. Because scriptures will remind you of your original nature. Scriptures will remind you of your real value, true value. And it is important how you evaluate yourself, because based on that valuation, your perception will be. Everything will be. The way you conduct yourself, the way you behave, the way you absorb the shocks and everything will depend upon your valuation. How do you evaluate yourself? So therefore, till we get established in the knowledge, we need to constantly keep in touch with the study and reflection of the subject. So he says, Astita Prajna is one who is everywhere, means he is dynamically acting, but zero attachment, because he is only identified with Atma. Therefore, there is no attachment. In other words, having moved with somebody, when he moves away from them, he doesn't take them with him. He moves. Not that he doesn't have those memories. He has. But he always maintains a distance. The gap is there. G-A-P. That is a brand also called Gap. Right? So, Gap. There is a distance between him and Badi Madhukya. All the time. And he, having met with good or evil, neither rejoices nor hates. His wisdom is established. Meaning, he will move around, and because of which he does come across good and evil both. But he will not rejoice in good and resist evil. In our case, we rejoice in good and we resist evil. He understands these are passing phenomena, they will come and go. In fact, he knows the other side of good is evil, the other side of evil is good. So he doesn't take any of them seriously. He understands that these are prasad, they will come, they will go. See, when you sit down for meditation, so many thoughts come. That is why we say every day minimum spend 10 minutes with yourself. Just 10 minutes with yourself. Be silent. When you are silent, what happens is the thoughts are coming. You will understand few things there. Silence is not playing defender. You might as well talk. Silence, real silence, you are absolutely quiet. And just being an observer of your thoughts. Your thoughts are running like they run amok. So you understand the cyclonic nature of your mind. And secondly, you will see good, bad and ugly thoughts coming. So the texture of thoughts also you will understand. And thirdly, you will understand that whether they are good thoughts or bad thoughts or ugly thoughts, they come and they go. So you also understand the impermanent aspect of the thoughts, the transient aspect of the thoughts. So what all you understand? The cyclonic nature of your thoughts. Huh? How turbulent they are. And then the texture of your thoughts. And then the impermanent aspect of your thoughts. So good thought comes, goes. Bad thought comes, goes. Ugly thought comes, goes. So many thoughts have come and gone. But you are there all the time. You are not somebody who comes and goes. Thoughts are something that comes and goes. But the thinking substance, the original substance, the original nature in you, the real you, is always there. Isn't it? So many people come and go. This is the famous statement made by the Brooks. The Brooks says, men may come, men may go, I go on forever. So many civilizations come, civilizations go. So many people are born on the side of the Ganges, so many people die. But the Ganges goes on. Are you with me? So, all these things are something that comes and goes. So when you maintain silence, then you develop the gap. That is the real meaning of silence. The more you develop the gap, the more you will face good and evil without excitement or dejection. Good and evil though will come and go. Even for a sthita prajna, good things will be there, evil things will be there. Like Jesus Christ was living, was doing so many good things for people, but there were people who hated him, right? That is why they crucified him. He did not have any resistance. What did he say? Father, forgive them, they know not what they are doing. So he met good, he met evil, but he remained quiet. Why? Because he has another point on which his identification is. We don't have that third point. We don't know what is that point. We are going between this and that. Pleasure and pain. Pleasure and pain. And we take the side of the pleasure all the time. And by taking the side of the pleasure ignorantly, we don't understand that pleasure comes not to stay. Even this shall pass away. The more I identify with pleasure, the more I will be running away from pain. And the more I run away from pain, the more the pain will catch me. So instead of taking the side of the pleasure or pain, I take the side of one who is aware of pleasure and pain. So always the question is asked, okay, who is wanting to get after pleasure? Who is wanting to avoid pain? Who is this person who is trying to get after pleasure and avoid pain? And that person he identifies with. Therefore, whether good happens or bad happens, he remains calm. And that is how the gap can be created. And that is why we say, it is not that you go on studying, something happens to you. Studying is only constant, it's like trying to change the thought pattern, that's all. By studying about Atma all the time, your dreams may be of sitting in the class now. Earlier your dream was sitting in a discotheque maybe, or in a shopping mall maybe. But now your dreams are sitting in the Bhagavad Gita class. That's all happens. But you are still in the dream. That's not going to help you much. Yes, it has its own help by changing the texture of your thoughts, quality of your thoughts. But you are still in the worldly level. You are still in the dream state. Therefore, I say, by practicing that maunam, creating that gap, then slowly the maunam can become meditation. Maunam can turn into meditation if you, along with maunam, also practiced karma yoga, bhakti yoga and jnana yoga. That is why we say, get up as early as possible. First thing you give your mind, in fact, very first thing in the morning after you brush and all your ablutions are over, you sit down in silence for 10-15 minutes. 10-15 minutes. Third, you can chant a small mantra and then start your study reflection. Then you shower and have your puja done. Then do karma yoga throughout the day. We will study what is karma yoga in detail when we go to the third chapter. Then again in the evening, shower and have a small prayer and then maybe some study time. And again, before you go to sleep, 10-15 minutes of silence. Just silence. Then what is happening is, thoughts will come and go, thoughts will come and go, thoughts will come and go. You are seeing the thoughts coming and going. You are creating the gap. Slowly, slowly what will happen is, the gap becomes permanent and longer gap. Then good will come, bad will come, you will go through everything, but you will not be excited or dejected. And this is the state of Sthita Prajna. Then he says, he compared the Sthita Prajna with a tortoise. He says, just like a tortoise moves about. It moves about with four legs, head and tail, also covered by hard shell. Any danger it senses, it will quickly draw all its limbs. So that drawn condition is what he is talking about. Withdrawn condition. Withdrawn means what? Opposite of withdrawn is what?
Involved.
Means your thoughts are extrovertedly focused. So he says the Sthita Prajna's thoughts are withdrawn. That's what I told you. The senses that are there in us, that's both the functions of entry and exit. Through the senses the world enter you. The color and form through the eyes, taste through the tongue, touch through the skin, smell through the nose, sound through the ears. They enter you. Another thing that happens is, our mind has so many desires for color and form, taste, sound, touch and all that. So our mind is also going out as an exit door. In the case of a Sthita Prajna, he says, the door only functions as an entry door. There is no exit. This is the example he is trying to give here by using the tortoise. It's in a withdrawn condition. The mind is all the time withdrawn towards the self. It's never focused outward. In our case, it is somewhere outside already. We are struggling to bring it. Little bit for 1 hour, 15 minutes like that, we bring it, then again it goes up. Isn't it? So he says, like a tortoise withdraws all its limbs on all sides, he withdraws the senses from the sense objects. If you have to withdraw your senses from the sense objects, simply saying withdraw, it's not possible. What do you do if you are a small baby and you want to divert the attention of the baby from you? Give something to the child. If the mother doesn't have any help at home to take care of the baby, what does the mother do? She has to cook. She is busy in the kitchen. And the child will want to go to the kitchen and the mother is scared, you know, oil, hot oil or something may spill on her, on the child. So the mother wants the child to be occupied in the room adjacent to the kitchen. What does she do? She spreads all the toys around. When the attention is shifted from the mother to the toys, then the child is busy playing with the toys. Today, our senses are constantly running after the sense objects. You need to shift its attention. What do you have to do? You have to give a higher point. Something else. You can't just like that say, don't go there. The more you say, don't go, the more it will go. So slowly, slowly expose the mind to the higher levels. This is what we are supposed to do. By constantly giving its higher taste, one day it will get established there. So he says, he withdraws his senses from the sense objects. Means what? By giving it a higher thought, higher direction. That is why Adi Shankara says, satsangatve nitsangatvam nitsangatve nirmohatvam nirmohatve nischalatatvam nischalatatve jivan muktihi satsangatve nitsangatvam. Through satsanga, satsanga means good company, you will become free from sangha attachment, nitsanga. When you become free from attachments, your moha will go, nirmohatva. Only when your moha is gone, nirmohatva, nischala tattva, you will get established in the higher. Nischala tattva, jivan mukti. So how does it start? Satsanga. Your mind doesn't know anything now. You've been exposed to all these things. Now you can't completely deny them also. That's why we say, you can't totally deny that mind. Okay, once a week class. Then slowly once a week will become twice a week. Then once a day study. Then once a day study and reflection, all that becomes twice a day. Then slowly the whole thing changes. You can't forcefully do it overnight. Lot of people suddenly become spiritual. After some time they can't take it anymore. Slowly they'll get back to their other sense intelligences much more than what they were before. Because they are not functioning according to their capacity. Excuse me. So you got to give your mind, your senses, a slowly, slowly higher taste. When you get the taste of higher, would you go to the lower things later? Even in the worldly things. If you got used to the, even the worldly objects, if you got used to the higher things, but it is so difficult to explain the difference between, for example, a BMW engine and an ordinary car engine. How do you explain that to a person who doesn't understand that? But there is a difference. Are you with me? Even in the worldly sense, the quality differs, the taste differs. Even in a chocolate. When you have a Godiva chocolate vis-a-vis the other chocolate, there is a difference. So once you are exposed to the higher, why would you want to go into the lower? Today the mind doesn't know anything else other than the lower. This is the problem. So he says, like a tortoise, his mind is completely withdrawn. So how do we do that as sadhaks? Is what I spoke till now. In his case, his mind is totally withdrawn and it is all the time with Atma. But in our case, it is not like that. So how do we do it? We have to do it slowly. Shanai, shanai. Slowly, slowly. Suddenly we give a big gap, then what happens? Again, it goes back to the lower thing. So this is what you need to understand. Once you are trying to shift yourself towards the spiritual aspects of life, not that immediately you get established there. So what will happen? There will come a time when you again go back to sense indulgences. But now what happens? Your mind starts teasing you. See, you are studying Gita, but see what you are doing. And this is the difficult time. You need to understand, yes, I have got the knowledge, but I have not got the wisdom. Wisdom is not there. There is always a time between knowledge and wisdom. It takes time. When you set a curd, when you want to make curd, you take the lukewarm milk, usme you add little jamu, right? Then what do? Leave it overnight. Then it gets converted into curve. Once it's become a solid curve, can you ulta the vessel, nothing happens. But it takes time to
establish.
That's when you have to be more careful. Exactly like a pregnant woman. You know, the first 3 months they say you have to be very, very careful. Exactly like that. You've just begun your sadhana. You need more protection.
For example, you go for the sampling, you plant the sapling.
Yes.
That's the time you need the protection.
Absolutely.
Till the roots are established.
Exactly.
When it becomes a tree, then nothing. Then exposed to everything, it will not
absolutely
affect. But till it's a sapling and it needs to strengthen itself,
yes,
and gain its roots.
That is the brahmacharya ashram. That is when you need to really protect yourself. But nowadays you don't learn these things in schools when you are a small kid. So later on you learn. So, you know, we are planning, as I said, we have this plan of starting a children's class. I'll let you know. So different age groups like 5 to 8, 8 to 11, 11 to 13.
11 to 13.
11 to 13, 11 to 14. Something like that. So then, you know, 14 to 17 like that. Maybe in Priyanka's house. Depends on how many people can come in that area.
See, 11 to 13, my sons are the same age, 12.
So, you know, the idea is what? Get established, then, like you said, nothing happens. But till then, you require that protection. Till the knowledge is converted into wisdom. And that is when you need to intensify your purpose, yama.
And that's the time when you need to apply to your life.
Yes, apply and you may slip many times. And doesn't matter if you slip, continue your sadhana. But what happens many times is, oh, I've slipped, and then what is, I am not for these things, I have to stop all these things, I'll learn. No, you are slipping and you are being aware. That means what? You are in the process of growing. When a child tries to stand up when it's crawling, falls many times. But eventually it stands up. So it's not how many times you fail, it's how many times you got up again. Don't give up your hopes of trying to get up. So he says in 59, the sense objects turn away from the abstinent man. So when you try to turn away from the world and go towards inside, the world also over a period of time may not come and tempt you that much. Like some of your friends may not disturb you on Tuesday mornings now. They know. And on Tuesday mornings there is no point calling this person because she is very interested in doing this. So I am not going to call. Right? So he says the sense objects may turn away. Just because the sense objects turn away does not mean that the potential of falling is not there in you. Are you with me? A lot of people, when they have become alcoholics and they go to these places to get rehabilitated, so many days they stay there and so many things they are slowly, you know, completely rehabilitated. But still the doctors will say you have to be careful. The withdrawal symptoms are coming and this and that, you know. Why? Because they can get back. The potential is there. Are you with me? So therefore, the potential will only go absolutely when you reach the self, he says. Till you have not reached the self, it all can come back slowly. That is why the example I give in this context is of a tuberculosis patient, you know. Tuberculosis can be cured. Completely cured. But there are medicines given for almost 9 months, I suppose, or 1 year. Right? Now, in 6 months, 7 months, you will feel very alright. But the doctors will say, no. You continue, you have to finish the medicine. Why? If you don't, the relapse is even more dangerous. It can come back. Potential is there. Till you completely got established in Atma, you must continue your sadhana. Then he says, O Kaunteya, the turbulent senses, understand the biggest problem in you. The biggest problem in each one of us is our own senses. It is turbulent. It draws the mind away, completely, forcibly carries away the mind away, even while striving. In fact, the day you sit to meditation, all sorts of thoughts come. Till then, probably all these thoughts did not come.
Guruji, this 59th verse, 58th verse.
Means what? When you have resolved within that I am not going to give into these things. slowly, slowly the temptations may leave you. Means the objects may... See, where there is a demand, there will be a supply. Are you with me? If there is no demand, slowly what will happen? Shops will close. Initially, your fellow person starts a bar there. Nobody is coming. Few months, few years, you'll see. Then he'll shut it down. But if the demand is there, then he will try to occupy the entire shopping mall also. Depends on the demand. Jitna demand hai, utna supply. So what happens now? You are intellectually resigning yourself not to go after it. So supply may stop. But since the supply has stopped, doesn't mean now you got established. This is where the danger comes. See, there are beautiful stories, you know. I believe once when Bhakta Meera went to meet some saint, a saint sent a word saying, "No, I can't meet her, she's a stree. I'm a sannyasi, I can't meet the stree." Then she sent a word back saying, "I thought there is only one Purusha." One Purusha means Krishna. All other devotees of Krishna, whether they are man or woman, they are women, strees. Purusha, when you say, is only Atma. All others are strees. You understand? From the spiritual point of view. So, she said, "I thought there is only one Purusha." Immediately came out running. You know? So, in other words, if I have potential in me, then only I should be scared. If I have no potential inside, why should I be scared?
And it's man or woman is the same.
So, in other words, once they know that you are a sannyasi, see, first of all, understand this. There are few reasons for marriage. One of the reasons is what? Protection. Once they know that you are a married woman, there is a kind of protection, no? Are you with me? That protection is there. So, exactly like that, you also give yourself a protection. The protection is there for you from the outside also. So exactly like that, the vastra, the lifestyle that you declare to the world gives you a protection. Once they know that you are a sannyasi, not everybody is going to come and knock at your door. But inside, if you have the temptation, then any day you can fall. Therefore he says that rasa will go only upon reaching the Supreme.
Verse 59.
Then in 60 he talks about the turbulent nature of the senses. If you are not careful, even while striving, it takes you away, like the wind forcefully carries away the mind. Therefore, he says, his wisdom is established whose senses are controlled. So he says in 61, first you should try to control your senses. What should you do? Having controlled them all, tani sarvani samyamya. First things first. First thing is sense control. Tani what do we do? We straight away start getting into meditation without any sense control. How can a person who lacks self control or sense control meditate? Can you meditate? It's like this. First, take away all the unnecessary negative things away from your rooms.
From your room?
For example, I'm giving an example externally. All sorts of pictures are there which will take your mind towards that side. So remove them. That's why you light an agarbatti. Agarbatti and meditation, not, but agarbatti has a thought association. You understand? So conducive environment create karo. Sattvic food. Sattvic people. Thoda sa senses ko teek karo. Then to that extent you can do meditation. Then that meditation will give you more capacity to withdraw. That's how it should go. But it should start with sense control. Without sense control and karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, without mental purification, if you sit down to meditate, you can't meditate. Your thoughts will run like mad. So having controlled them all, he should sit focused on me as Supreme. See, even physically, if you want to sit down for about 10 minutes, you need to practice, no? Thoda stretching, thoda this and that, so that you can comfortably sit down. Firstly, how many of us have the capacity to sit down in Padmasana or even ordinary seated position? We are all used to sitting on this kind of chairs. Right? There was a time when we used to sit down and eat our food. But now everything is done on the table and chair. So you need to first make sure that your body is able to cooperate to sit for 10 minutes. Forget about concentration and all that stuff. Even for your body to sit, you understand, you need to have some quietude. So he says, having controlled them all, first thing is sense control. And that sense control can only be achieved through karma yoga, bhakti yoga, asana, pranayama and all that. That is why in the Ashtanga Yoga also, when Patanjali talks about, he first thing, what does he say? Yama. Then?
Yama.
What does Yama and Niyama mean?
Discipline.
Discipline. Why discipline? Why doesn't he straightaway say Dhyana? Dhyana comes seventh.
You can't do Dhyana without discipline.
Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. So he tells you, you can't go to Dhyana. First is Yama, Niyama. Yama is what? Yam, Niyam, means what? Niyam means what you can do, what you should do. Yam means what all you should abstain from, control from. One of the things mentioned is, don't accept gifts. You read that. Why? Because what happens, if you accept gifts, then your mind will say, oh, he gave me this gift, she only gave me this gift. So there is discrimination possible. Then every time I meet that person, I will expect something. I will behave partially towards those who give better gifts than the other, and I constantly become dependent on what they will give me. Exactly. Exactly. But first, initially, physically also. Then, slowly, my mental level. In other words, finally, yes, everything is mental. That is why, when somebody comes and gives gift, no, I will not take, you don't say. But you say, okay, a person is, you are going to offend him more by not taking, you take. But you also continue your tapasya to make sure that you are not constantly craving for these gifts. Because mind, if it is going here and there, what kind of meditation you can do? You are only fooling yourself. See, meditation is not done to appease somebody else. It's for your own growth. So first thing you got to make sure is your mind is pure. So there is a lot of yama, niyama they talk about. Let me tell you a very, very simple psychological thing. As soon as you get up, you shower and see. There is a difference. You know, mentally, when you shower, your negative thoughts also stop. There are people who 10 times if they shower also, so many negative thoughts may come. That's a different matter. But what I am talking about is a very, very simple psychological thing. Just once you shower, your thoughts change. It's confusing. You're fresh and you feel, okay, now, relaxed. So you go, the negative things leave. You find out. First thing in the morning. So what I'm trying to say is, a simple thing like that helps. Yeah, so therefore first they talk about discipline. Having control them all. Discipline. See, today your mind, without anything in front of you, only it's going there. Now imagine if it is there in front of you. All sorts of senses for which you have desires are kept in front of you. Now you are told to meditate. Can you meditate? Even without them, your mind is going there. So first thing is, you need to bring about some regulation, some control over senses. Bina regulation, bina sense control, you can't do meditation. That's why in the 6th chapter, Lord Krishna says, meditation is not for one who eats too much, or one who doesn't eat, not for one who sleeps too much or one who doesn't sleep at all. Regulation is a must. Yama, niyama, asana. When you do certain asana, certain pranayamas, if certain glands are activated, certain thoughts are activated, right? So they have its own conducive effect on your personality. So then pratyahara comes. Pratyahara means what? Today the ahara is color and form, sound, and all these are aharas. Pratyahara means your ahara, the mind turns inside completely, withdrawal. Then comes mental withdrawal. Uparati. Right? Then you can do dharana. Till then you can't do dharana also. Dharana means concentration. Then dhyana. Then meditation. Anyway, so why I'm saying is, he emphasizes on sense control. Then if you don't control, you allow your thoughts to go amok, then he talks about the fall, the ladder of fall. From thought comes desire. Attachment, say desire aayenge. From desire, anger. Anger will lead to delusion. Delusion will lead to confusion of memory. Confusion of memory to loss of intellect. And loss of intellect, he perishes. So you say, okay, what difference is it make? Just a thought, no. Chhod do unko. What will happen? See, that is why they say fire, enemy, and desire should be completely removed. If little bit is there, it can come back. When a neighboring king conquers the other kingdom, he will make sure that even the children of the king is removed, killed. Why? If one fellow is left, then tomorrow he can come back and fight with him and claim the kingdom back. Lots of things like that has happened in history, isn't it? So little bit fire, you leave it. Oh, thoda sa hai. What will happen? That will burn the whole house.
Little desire
is enough to destroy. So you got to completely finish them off. So in the beginning itself, you should become aware of the thought and you detach. If you don't, then the thought will slowly become desire and it will destroy. So he says, take steps there. Therefore, what you do? You should not give in to your likes and dislikes. You have likes and dislikes, but don't give in to your likes and dislikes. Let it be there. You act on your intellect's guidance. What ought to be done, what ought not to be done. Raga dvesha viyuktaistu. So function on what ought to be done, not on what you like or what you don't like. Then you will be able to move around with your senses under control and attain peace. And he says, there is, in peace all sorrows will get destroyed. When you are peaceful, all your sorrows will remove completely. Then your intellect will become tranquil, single-pointed, you become steady. You get that happiness. There is no happiness for somebody who is agitated. Have you seen? A person with too much desire, even if few desires are being fulfilled, he will still be in the state of agitation. Happiness is possible only when you are calm. And calmness is possible only when you change your mind from world to the Atma within. And that is the job of the intellect. Intellect must try to keep the mind on the higher aspects of life. Then the mind will become peaceful. When the mind becomes peaceful, then the mind will be able to attain happiness. So therefore, the first thing is, you must not get agitated, for which you need to change your attitude. You need to change your direction towards higher. If you let go your mind, then the mind will spin more and more desires. Too many desires. Then when there are too many desires, you will be agitated. Then there will be no peace, no happiness possible. So he says, for the mind which follows the roving senses carries away his intellect as the wind carries away the boat on water. So finally, now if you allow the senses to carry the mind, then the mind will in turn carry the intellect away. So you can't afford to allow the mind to carry the intellect away. Therefore, what do you have to do? O Mahabaho, O mighty armed, you are really a powerful person only if you are able to restrain your senses completely. You remember we said, we quoted Swami Vivekananda here, we said, you conquer the mind, you conquer the world. The true leader truly powerful person is one who is able to control his senses fully. Now, we want to control a big empire of organizations, government and this and that, but with reference to our own mind, our own senses, we are slaves. So he says his wisdom is established only if the senses are completely restrained from the sense objects. Completely restrained from the sense objects means what? Mind by itself doesn't go to the sense objects. The intellect keeps it in the direction it goes, but by itself it doesn't go. In our case, by itself it goes. So sense objects, nothing wrong, but going after them blindly is the problem. So sense control means what? When you are aware of your aware in your contact, you are sense control. So therefore, control your senses, he says. And a person who has controlled his senses and reached the self, compared to somebody who has not reached the self, the whole thing is ulta, he says. In 69 he says, that which is nigh to all beings, therein the self-controlled one keeps awake. That in which beings are awake is nigh to the sage who sees. In other words, I told you there are three types of people. One is constantly sleeping, or rather one who is in a sleeping condition. Other one is in a sleepwalking condition. Third one is in the awaring condition. We are all in the sleepwalking condition mostly. Right? Sleepwalking stage. He talks about Siddha Prajna, who is awakened. Once he is awakened, even in sleep he is awake. There I gave you the example of a mother who has given birth, who has a small baby sleeping next to her baby. She is sleeping on one side throughout the night. This side if she turns, she will fall off from the bed. This side if she turns, she will fall on the baby. But she is sleeping also, but she is so conscious that she sleeps just on that side. How is it possible? Are you with me? Similarly, once you have woken up, you will be awake even in sleep. And secondly, your mind is not with Atma, the world at all. Is all the time with self only. In the case of the worldly people, even in mandir, the thought is on the body, mind, intellect. That is why when you go to the mandir, you say, what I can get? See, Kusela, the Sudama, was sent to Krishna, right? Sudama and Krishna, they studied together in Sandipani ashram. They were, co-sadhakas, right? But he just went there and he completely forgot what his wife told him to ask. That is true bhakta. Right? There is no thought of what to ask only. If you go, you will not forget. Oh, this is why I came to Balaji. I must make sure that I ask for this and I get this. Right? So he says, that in which beings are awake is night to the sage who sees. We are all awake in the worldly things. He is awakened to the Atma. He is not awakened in the self, in the worldly things. We are all awake in the world. He is awake in the Atma. So for him, anything that he sees is only Atma, the expression of Atma. For us, anything that we see is only there to fulfill our senses, to make us enjoy. That's how we will look at the object. But he looks at the object as a reflection of Atma. Then in 70 he says, he is like the ocean. Rivers enter the ocean from all sides. But does it make any difference to the ocean? Huh? The sweet water from the river may enter the ocean, but ocean doesn't become sweet. It is the river water that has entered becomes salty. So in other words, Siddha Prajna is one who can go into any environment, he come back untainted. In fact, anybody who came in contact with Siddha Prajna, they change for better. Anybody who went and met Buddha, they only changed. Buddha never changed. Are you with me? This is the beauty. That is where I said their senses only are used as an entry point, there is no exit. Their mind is not going through the senses into the world. Only world will enter, but only Atma is kindled. That's all. Because their focus is not what they see, what makes them see. The Kena Upanishad says, it is not what you see, but what makes you see. It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. So when the senses enter, sense objects enter us, we are focusing on what has entered. They focus on what made that entry possible. Are you with me? It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. It is not what you see, but what makes you see. We all get caught in what we see. They don't get caught in what they see. This is the difference. That man who abandons all desires and moves about without earning means what? He is constantly in the world, but he is not at all having any desires. No sense of I and mine. The sense of I and mine should be gone, not the possessions. It is easier relatively to get rid of your possessions, but to get rid of the I and mine is not easy. My ashram, my guru, my disciple, we get caught there also. My this thing, mine, this is mine, that is mine. Truly speaking, everything that is there is only Bhagwan's, nothing is ours. See, for a while the breath is there inside you, then you breathe out, then somebody else is breathing in that, then somebody else is breathing in. This is going on, right? What was part of you is part of somebody else. What was part of somebody else now become part of you. So truly speaking, who is the owner? Are you the owner? You are not the owner. You are only a trustee. So Siddha Pragya never has the sense of I and mine. He always lives as a trustee. This is the state of Dhamma Nopartha. Attaining this, none is deluded. Having reached the highest, you don't fall back. Even in the worldly sense, once your English knowledge improves, you don't speak butler English. In any level, when you establish yourself, you don't come back to the lower. Being established therein, even at the end of life, one attains oneness with Brahman. Even after death, the oneness that you have attained continues. Thereafter there is no more birth. This is the state of Siddha Pragya. From 55 till 72, beautifully he paints in 18 verses. So our focus should be in what? Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Karma Bhakti Jnana Yoga. Then Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Not directly get involved in Dhyana and all that. This is the state of Siddha Pragya. Having reached there, thereafter nobody gets deluded again. This is the summary of the entire Siddha Pragya portion. And the Siddha Pragya is not somebody who is free from possessions. He may be, maybe not. But he is definitely free from possessiveness. There is no I or mine. He only identifies himself to Atma. Everything belongs to Atma. There is no possessive, arrogating thoughts. This is the state of Siddha Pragya. So let's conclude. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.